Okay, so I think we should start. So, hi, good afternoon. I'm Min-jin from Samsung Electronics, and I'm currently working on the Web Runtime Framework in Tizen. So today I'm going to talk about Tizen Web Runtime, mainly focused on some of the major updates that we introduced since last year. So I'm going to divide my presentation in three sections. In case some of you are still new to Web Runtime, I'm going to give you a brief introduction. And then in the second section, I'm going to go through one of each major update one by one. And finally, before I close my presentation, I'm going to briefly introduce some of the features that we are going to including next release. Okay, so I think what is web application and web runtime? I think most of you should know what is web application. So web application is a kind of application made with web technologies such as HTML, JavaScript, and CSS with some extended power to access your device resources. And unlike the traditional websites, web applications can actually be installed on your device. So web runtime is a kind of a runtime environment for web applications. So it provides package management functionality, and it also provides execution and lifecycle management, and runtime security enforcement and platform integration, and so on. Okay, so this picture shows kind of interaction a web application is going to have when it is running. So it interacts with the end user, and it will try to access the network, also try to access your device resources. So interaction with end user requires the web engine has such better performance, and in trying to access network and your device resources means that your web runtime needs to have a certain level of security and privacy requirements. So to give you a brief overview of the whole Tizen web application ecosystem workflow, a developer will generally develop a web application through Tizen SDK, and then the application is going to be packaged and signed by SDK and going to be uploaded on the App Store. On the App Store side, there is going to be a series of verification and filtering process carried out. And once everything goes fine, on the end user's App Store client application, the application will be able to be visible to the end user so that end user can just click and download and install. And then after installation, the user can play with it. So I'm not going through this one by one because in the second section I'm going to cover each of them in very much detail. So basically this list shows the major updates that were introduced in Tizen Web Runtime since last year Tizen Developer Conference. And a few upcoming features. Okay? So, major updates. Before I go through major updates, probably it's good for you to have a big picture of the whole architecture. So if you participate in other sessions, I'm sure you have seen this architecture diagram quite a lot. So Web Runtime is here in the whole Tizen architecture platform architecture. Okay, within the Web Runtime, so we have WRT installer, which is responsible for package management. And WRT core and WRT client together provides execution and lifecycle management. Because we are using WebKit 2, we provide injected bundle library to customize some of the default WebKit behavior. And we have WRT security daemon, which is responsible for digital signature verification, and also API privilege check. We have WRT Launchpad, which is there to make the web application launching faster. Okay, then we have a common library, which is used by majority of WRT components basically provide some of the event subscription mechanism and also DB access mechanism. So the first feature that we introduced was hosted web application support. So before that, we only have a packaged type of application. So packaged web application is basically a kind of application that includes all of its resources in a package. But unlike the packaged application, hosted web application has all of its resources actually hosted on a remote server. But we still need to package some of the minimal resources, including the configuration file, digital signatures, and so on. So compared to packaged web application, we have several restrictions on hosted web application, such as the start page has to be specified in this configuration extension, or the rendered pages are remote pages, so basically they have the same origin as a remote server origin, and naturally the same origin policy will be applied for those remote pages. And because they are hosted on a remote site, and they can be changed anytime, we only allow the standard W3C and HTML5 APIs to be accessed by those remote pages in a hosted web app. In order to have better security and better sandboxing for web applications, we basically introduced a few extra steps in installation flow. Now we have new verification steps. So higher level privilege declaration is not allowed. Basically means, okay, I'm going to talk about privilege concept later on, but you can just think of it as a kind of trust level. So a web application under certain privileged domain, is not allowed to declare higher level API privilege in the configuration document. Otherwise, we will basically fail the installation. And invalid signature is not allowed, which means that if your web application is get corrupted, we won't install them. Okay, if the web application wanted to be encrypted, we provide an encryption mechanism. And also, eventually, for every web application that is installed on Taizen devices, you'll have SMAC rules populated for web applications, which SMAC is a mandatory access control mechanism on Taizen. And there's one deprecate step in W3C widget packaging and configuration, which is feature tag. For now, it is used by EBSCO site for filtering purpose, such as hardware features like camera or Bluetooth or other hardware features which requires to be filtered on the App Store size needs to be specified by feature tag. But feature tag itself will not be checked by WRT installer. Okay? Update flow is more or less similar to installation flow, except that we treat a web application installation as a kind of update. If the application that we are trying to install has exactly the same Taizen application ID, and also if it has the same author signature, then we will treat the installation as a kind of update. Obviously, after the update, the web application data must be preserved, such as settings, cookies, local storage, and so on. So this diagram shows the general installation and update flow, and I think the font is just too small to be able to read on the back side. But briefly go through this diagram. First of all, the WRT installer will check the configuration file to see whether it is a fresh new installation or whether it is an update. And then unzip the package, check the configuration format, check the certificate, and then if the web application requires to be encrypted, then it will create an encryption task. And if it is an update, then we will just update the existing files. If it is a new installation, then we will populate the web application files in a directory. And eventually, we will create a manifest, which is used by the native platform to be able to installed on the backend package manager. And then eventually, it will check the privilege to disable the higher level privilege declaration. And finally, we will populate the SMAC rules at the end. Okay, so from Tizen 2, web runtime is using WebKit 2 backend to run the web applications. So this diagram basically shows a typical process architecture for web applications. So for each web application, you have a UI process which runs the application logic, and we have web process responsible for rendering of the actual web content, and with the help of an injected bundle here, we will be able to load some of the Tizen device APIs on demand. And if the web application contains a MP runtime plugin, it will basically create a separate process. And within each Tizen device API, for each API call, it will do the privilege check with the WRT security daemon. So launching sequence. This diagram shows the general launching sequence for web application. It starts from a caller application, sends a signal to the application manager daemon, and then application manager daemon will send the signal to WRT launchpad. WRT launchpad will fork itself and set UID to app privilege, set SMAC labeling, and call the main function of the WRT client. And after that, it will create the EWK context, which is basically a WebKit context. And then it will initiate the fork of web process. So as you can see, the launching sequence is parallelized as much as possible. This is to try to reduce the launching time. And this is the list of libraries that are preloaded in the WRT launchpad. In order to save the battery life, when a web application goes to background, the default behavior is suspend the web view, which means that JavaScript executions, timers, CSS animations are basically suspended. But if the developer wants to enable it, then we basically won't suspend that even if it goes to background. But the backing store will be purged anyway. When the web application switches to foreground, the suspended web views will be resumed. Okay, because the developers want to develop their web applications and want to deploy to multiple countries, basically he or she wants to localize his web application. There are a few mechanisms to localize your web application. The first one is folder-based web localization, which is based on the double switch widget packaging and configuration specification. So basically, there is a specific folder in which you can put your localized contents. And because they are based on file-based localization, the localization can only be reflected at next launching time. And you can also localize your configuration document with the standard XML lang attribute. And if you want to localize your content, you can actually listen to the local change event with the Tizen system information API. And you can use some of available localization JavaScript libraries available with open source. Okay, resource encryption. This functionality is provided to just to provide an alternative way or provide a choice for developers who want to protect their resources. So if the developer wants to encrypt their resources, he can basically declare that in the configuration document. And then the resources during the installation time will be encrypted with a device unique key. Maybe you can, it's better, this diagram better explains the flow. So during the installation time, if it declares encryption task, then the installer will create an encryption task. The encryption task will call resource encryptor module in WLT commands library, and then it will recursively encrypt critical resources such as HTML files, JavaScript files, CSS files, and so on. And even finally, to store the information on the database. Decryption is quite straightforward. During the web application loading, it will basically check the database and see whether it requires decryption or not. If it requires decryption, then before loading the actual content, it will basically decrypt the resource and pass the decrypted data to WebKit for rendering. Okay, so at the beginning I mentioned API privileges. So you can imagine the privileges as a kind of trust levels. So when a web application is stored on your device, based on the distributor signature that is used to, based on the certificate, distributor certificate that is used to sign your web application, if the distributor certificate changed to different Tizen distributor certificate root, such as Tizen public root, public domain, or Tizen partner domain, or Tizen platform domain, then we will categorize the web application under that trust level. Let's say if your web application is signed by public distributor certificate, signed with the public distributor certificate, then after installation, we will categorize your web application as a public domain web application. So, and depends on the actual trust level or privilege level of your web application, the range of API, device API permissions that your web application can access are different. As you can see, these are the Tizen device APIs. These are the additional powerful system level APIs, which is only available to partner level, and so on. So by categorizing your web application into these domains, we can enforce the security on API access and try to go through the whole security mechanism from starting from the App Store side and also on your device, which is there to make your web application run in a safer way. And when your web application is running, when your web application is executed on your device, your web application is basically sandboxed, which means that your web application processes, such as UI and web processes, you'll have app UID and app GUID. Hence, we won't allow it to have a root privilege. And then the process itself is labeled with the package ID snag label, and the resources are also labeled with package ID. This means that only the processes with the package ID, with the same package ID label, can access the resources that resources from the same package ID. And the SMAC rules are actually defining the mapping between the process label and your resource application resource label. So we have a list of basic application rules there, and also based on the list of privileges that the web that your web application is trying to access, we will assign different privilege specific rules for your web application. So the whole purpose of this sandboxing is essentially to protect your web application data from the rest of system. Okay, so dynamic box is a kind of in your Android device, you have a widget, right, which you can put on your home screen. So dynamic box is a similar concept of mechanism which allow you to develop a widget-like application and package it together with a web application and allow it to be embedded in home screen-like applications. It can be, for now, it has to be installed and updated and uninstalled as part of a web application package. So it is actually part of your web application. And then the supported sizes, we only have, in Tizen 2.1, we only support 1x1, 2x1, and 2x2. The minimum update period is 30 minutes. And it can be embedded like Vue-like applications. So this table, this table summarizes the new configuration extensions that were introduced in Tizen 2 and 2.1. So we now have a package attribute in Tizen application element. We have required version, which basically allow you to specify the Tizen platform version. And we have Tizen privilege, which is there to allow you to specify the API privileges, like application launch, or contact read, contact write, and so on. From Tizen 2.0, the previous Tizen app service, the attribute name is changed to Tizen App Control. Tizen App Control is together with the Tizen Device API, it can provide inter-application communication, much like Android Intent. And we have a few new settings, like background support to enable, which allow you to let your application won't be suspended when it goes to background. And we have context menu enable or disable, encryption enable, disable, screen orientation, install location to external MMC card or on your handphone device. And then we have Tizen content for hosted type of web application. This is the internal structure of web application when it is installed on your device. So basically, we'll create some of the default folders. Like data folder is there to store WebKit data. And we have shared folder to share the data among different web applications. And inside the widget folder, we have web application resources And as you can see, this highlighted box is only for packaged web application. And host web application will not have such folders. And it only have configuration file and signature files. And if you have MP Runtime plugin, it will be included in your ARM. If it is for ARM device, then it will be included in your ARM folder. Okay, so far I talked about the updated features, and in next Tizen major release, we are planning to implement some of the advanced features. So I'm briefly going through them one by one. So the first one is content security policy. This is what I meant by content security policy is basically for manifest based or configuration based content security policy. Now WebKit itself is already supporting in Tizen 2.0, or is already supporting CSP 1.0. So if you are running in Tizen 2.0 browser or in Tizen 2.0 hosted type of web application, you can already use the CSP, which is based on HTTP header. But the one I'm referring to here is for configuration-based CSP enforcement, which means that by specifying the CSP rule in your configuration document, you can actually restrict the content security access for your local application resources, which is not from the remote server. So we are planning to have a default policy, such as like this, which is not yet finalized, but we are still experimenting. And then a web application can define an even fine-grained CSP policy in the configuration file. And in this way, we can do further fine-grained access control based on the different directives, such as script source, image source, and so on. We also want to introduce the navigation policy. So by introducing this configuration element, basically we want to separate the list of navigation URL top level window URL navigation to this list. For now, we are using the widget, the access tag to specify the navigation domain, but with the introduction of CSP, we are planning to have extra tag for allowing URL navigation policy. And probably if the domain is not included in the URL, the list of URL domains in this element, then the URL will result in opening up in the browser. And AppCache is it's a new HTML5 standard to support better offline experience. So by providing this kind of AppCache, this kind of new configuration element, basically during the installation time, we can download the application cache manifest, some of the resource files in advance, so that the hosted web app can actually work better offline. And it can also provide some fallback routines to work better for offline. Okay, I think that's the end of my presentation. So if you have any question, I will be happy to answer your question.
Uh, Sure.
Okay, it's on. I have a question about the plugins. Do they run in the web process or the UI process?
So you mean the device API plugins or NPA API plugin?
The NPA API plugins.
So NPA API plugin will run in a separate process, which is different from UI or web process. It's a separate process.
Okay. Yep. And a developer who wants to create a plugin, do they have to write code that can be compiled for both ARM and x86, or can they use, for example, Neon intrinsics in their plugin code?
So the developer basically, for now, in order to develop the NP runtime plugin, the Tizen SDK provides, for Tizen 2.1, the NP runtime plugin can only access a limited set of native APIs. Mm-hmm. So by using these APIs, as long as you can use either ARM toolchain or x86 toolchain, okay. As long as you can compile that, and as long as you can put that on the specific architecture-dependent folder, you will be able to run your plugin in your device.
Okay, so the SDK lets you choose the architecture for the target.
I think I have to check, but for Tizen 2.0 SDK, there is an ARM toolchain. You can basically compile your NP runtime plugin in ARM architecture, but I'm afraid it doesn't have x86. But I have to double check.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi. How do you handle, you mentioned two different modes. One was remote hosted and one is locally packaged.
Yep.
How do you differentiate in terms of permissions between what is remotely loadable in terms of APIs, like calling out to OAuth or other ways of getting data and data exchange?
Okay. So let me repeat your question. So your question is about how we control the API access for hosted type of web application and packaged type of web application, right?
Correct.
So we basically control this based on the, based on the document, whether it is loaded from the remote site or local from your local file system. So if it is loaded from the remote site, where you basically won't generate any JavaScript objects, and you won't be your web application which load a page from the remote site basically cannot access the Tizen device APIs, because the Tizen device API JavaScript objects are not generated for your web view, so you will not be able to access it.
But in a locally stored application, calling out remote URLs for data exchange, is that just permissioned in the security settings as far as allowed domains?
So if you are, loading remote resources, I don't know. Is your question?
It's more JSON. Typically, I'm loading JSON data or remote images or other data from the web, but my app is, and most resources are local. Can you provide those mixed models of development in the web runtime?
So in a package type of web application, because your web page is from the local file system, right?
Right.
And within the web page, in that web page, you can basically access any, you can do XHR request, or you can load images from the remote, as long as you specify these URL domains in an access tag. Which is one of the elements in the web application configuration document. And as long as you specify those domains in access tag, you can you'll be able to load these sub resources for your web page. And because this main document is loaded from the from your local file system, it as long as it has privilege, it can access your Tizen device API.
Perfect. Thank you.
Hi. Is there a way to develop hybrid apps using this runtime? Like part of the app can be native app, or is there a way to is there a native API exposed using web runtime?
Yes. Actually, we support hybrid app packaging. We call it hybrid app, but within the web application package, we can have web application package and also native application package bundled together within one WGT package. But I was not able to cover that part in my presentation because there are so many topics I need to cover. But if you go to developer.tizen.org, there is some kind of development guideline for you to be able to develop, to be able to package both of your web application and native service application within one package, so that it will enable you to have a hybrid application installed together as a one package.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so, thank you for listening. I think it's the end of my presentation. Thank you. So next section is going to start in 5 minutes.